We are in chapter 8 of Igeres HaKodesh. It is page 431-432. This letter is a general letter sent out by the Alter Rebbe to encourage people to give tzedakah, as is the case with, I believe, the first 14 or so letters of Igeres HaKodesh. Okay, so it starts, it's not just please send money, because that's easy. It's like these are very deep mystical expressions as to the need for giving tzedakah. So he starts out this one, Zareya tzedakah matzmiach yeshuois. We say in Birchas Kriyashma in the morning that he plants tzedakah, righteousnesses, and it sprouts forth salvations. I'm davening every day.
Right.
So the first question here is, and this is a statement which is taken from by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, and the rule is, if you're going to make a bracha, you have to have a verse in the Tanakh in which upon which to base it. You can't just the brachas that they made were not just they didn't just fall out of the sky, except for Barak Sha'amar. Barak Sha'amar fell out of the sky. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says, I don't know if I ever came across it in Gemara, but it says in Shulchan Aruch that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah were putting together the Siddur, and suddenly somebody found this piece of paper, and on it was written the bracha Barak Sha'amar, and they incorporated it in. But otherwise, all the other brachas are based on Pesukim. So this is a pasuk. It's based on a pasuk in Yoshua.
Okay.
So the question is, Mashik Sublush and Zariya Bemitzvah, the idea of planting by tzedakah. You know, how does that make sense? What are you planting? When you plant, we can understand, okay, the verbiage is if you plant something, it's going to grow something.
That's the intention.
Yes. So now, I would think that if you're going to plant tzedakah, it's going to grow tzedakah.
Tzedakah, you would assume.
Yeah. Plant a radish, get a radish, not a Brussels sprout, however the song goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here it says you plant tzedakah and you get Yoshua. You get salvation. So how is this whole thing stem? What's the whole fitting together? Kamosha comes with a pasuk, Zera Alechem l'tzedakah. You plant it for them for a tzedakah. Now we're going off on a tangent, which is normal because that's the normal way that Hasidic discourses are presented, is we'll quote some kind of a pasuk, a Maimer Chazal, something like that. We'll ask a question and then go off on a tangent and hopefully acquire enough information as we go along this merry way, along this tangent of answering the question, which we do in a mere two pages. It says, Rabbi Elazar Yaev Prutula Aniva Hadar Matzli. Rebbe Yehuda, it says in Gemara Brachas, that Rebbe Yehuda had a custom that every day, before he would actually go to Davin, he would give a pruta. A pruta is not a whole lot of money. A pruta is a very little bit of money. In fact, that's like the base coin.
Yeah,
it's a Russian coin.
Pruta is an Aramaic type thing.
That's right.
Babylonian, probably.
Yeah.
And it is worth...
I'm thinking of a kopeck.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's a hundredth of an ounce of silver is a pruta.
Whoa.
And actual today's market. So that's actually the minimum amount of you can give in a course of a day and be yoitzi the mitzvah of tzedakah. So silver...
A hundredth of an ounce of silver.
Silver right now, I believe, is $20 an ounce,
something
I think.
Like
so you have to give 20 cents a day for it to be yoitzi tzedakah. Throw nickels in the pushka doesn't do it anymore.
Doesn't do it anymore. Uh-huh. Okay.
So you got to throw a quarter in, sorry. Anyway, so what was his deal is, with this, based on this concept that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah established, that... You establish Yeshua, you establish a salvation by the giving of tzedakah, of righteousness. Okay? There is a similar story which is conveys this point. The Tzemach Tzedek, after the Alter Rebbe passed away, the Alter Rebbe passed away in 1813, I think it was like 1815, So the Tzemach Tzedek would have been in his early 20s, I believe.
Okay.
And he hadn't seen his Zeta in a long time. And he wanted to see his Zeta. Okay? And he did everything he could to try to get his Zeta to come visit him. And it was nothing was working. So it happened that he was on his way to Shul, and a merchant asked him if he could borrow money for him from the Tzemach Tzedek, this is before his Rebbe, because he needed, today was the market day, and he was hoping that he would be able to buy a calf wholesale and butcher it and slaughter it and butcher it and sell it retail and make money enough to live for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the way people operated back then.
Yeah.
So he told them, I'm going to go to Daven now. Come see me after Davening.
Mm.
Okay, so for Shteisuch now, it was probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon by the time he'd get done Davening.
Right.
So he put his talus on his shoulders. And as he was saying, Boruch Hi Nafshi, it suddenly occurred to him that if he's going to have this guy wait for him to get done Davening, there's not only are there not going to be any more calves left, but there's not going to be anybody in the market either.
Right, no one to
so
buy.
So he took off his talus from off his shoulders and put it down on the table and went into the market and looked for this guy and gave him the loan of, I think it was 70 kopecks, which is nothing. And I say, wow, 70 kopecks to get a cow? That's pretty cheap.
Calf.
Yeah. And then told him, you'll pay me when you get it. Okay? And then went and put his the tallest thing again. Now, what did he do? He didn't give him money. He lent him the money.
He lent him money.
This wasn't even, this was not tzedakah. This was like Gmilas Chasadim.
Right, correct.
Okay, so it's a whole different getter.
Yeah, it's a whole
different getter. Okay, so when he put on the tallest, and he put the tallest over his eyes to begin saying the bracha, Baruch Atah, so then he saw the Alter Rebbe. And Alter Rebbe said to him, this verse is Arei Tzedakus Masmiyah Yeshuois. And gave him the merit of him stopping his own, because what did he have to do? I mean, it's Tzemach Tzedek, davening was a serious thing.
It was a big deal, right.
And every single davening was a big deal. And the fact that he stopped for his davening, stopped his Aveda,
right.
And went specifically, now we have to go into the marketplace.
Right.
Where this is, you know, all kinds of things going on in the marketplace.
Sure.
You know, it's like, usually marketplace is an example of what you don't want your shul to be like. You know, you say, what is this, a marketplace over here? It's like, it's a big tumult, a hubbub and bubbub. And if he's getting ready to daven, that meant that he's already up for a while, for probably a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And he's already learned Chassidus.
Right.
He's gone to mikveh.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's done his morning brachas. Things
right.
He's in the zone, and he has to stop what he's doing and go into this place, which is exactly the opposite of the shul environment that he wanted
to be
in.
To
be
right.
Find this person, give him the couple of bucks, and then go back. And then he said, "Oh, now you merit." Okay, because when you think about it now, this especially nowadays. It's all very well and good. A person should daven. And we suggested that people should spend time davening. And a person should daven properly. A person should have a feeling and develop a connection to God through their davening. And the Baal Shem Tov, we talk about it all the time. The Baal Shem Tov said that davening is the tool for self-improvement. Okay? But when you put it into perspective, your self-improvement versus food for this guy's family.
Right.
So if you're putting it into that perspective, you know, it's like, I don't care who your davening is. Okay, even the Tzemach Tzedek.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So because, I mean, it's hard to say that a person becomes self-centered by davening because the purpose of davening is to take the person and not be self-centered. But you might say that the Tzemach Tzedek did such a good davening that he realized that it's more important I go take care of this guy than my davening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So that, hence the idea. So now, in every, that's why by Lubavitch, the minhag is to give tzedakah before davening.
Before davening.
Most of the world, I grew up anyway, so somebody walked around during Chazaras HaShatz, during repetition of the Amida with the Pushka, and that's when people gave tzedakah, was during, specifically, during Chazaras Hashas.
It's your third opportunity, so I see it.
Third opportunity.
The first one's before davening.
Yeah.
The second one's during Shemona, during Pesuk of Zimra.
Uh-huh.
And the third one's after, during the repetition.
You could give tzedakah all day long.
Times.
You could give tzedakah all day long.
Well, yeah, that's the idea. You break up. Better you give a dollar three times. Give 33 cents.
It's always better, better to give a little more. Yes, that's correct. Better to give a little bit at more often than
right.
a bigger bit less often. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the deal. Okay, so now Rabbi Elazar would give a prut and then he would go and daven. I, with righteousness, perceive your face. There's two ways to interpret the word betzedek. Mm. With righteousness. Whose righteousness are we talking about? So the first way that the Alter Rebbe explains it, the fact that this pasuk, ani betzedek echsa panecha, there are two commentaries that comment on the word tzedek. There's Rashi and Mitzudas, I'm not sure it's Mitzudas Dov and Mitzudas Tzion, one of the Mitzudas. Rashi says it's tzedek shomayla. It's the tzedek, the righteousness of Hashem.
Okay.
Mitzuda says it's the tzedek tachton. It's the tzedek of people down here. So the Alter Rebbe first explains the verse ani b'tzedek echso panecha according to Rashi that is talking about Hashem, and then when we're talking about, it's all very well and good that Hashem is righteous, but listen, the whole letter, why, reason why he's writing this letter is to collect tzedakah funds,
right.
So then he turns it around and says, and by the way, we're also talking about you and giving tzedakah.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're putting push comes to shove, says he says, ki gilei elokusa yisbarach, because the revelation of Hashem, hamizgalei b'machshavta shel adam, which is revealed in a person's thought, v'kavanasa b'tfila, when he's engaged in the kavana of davening, kol chad lefum shiur dele, each one according to his measure, hu betaris tzedakah v'chesed Hashem. This is basically, it's a gift, it's a kindness of Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay. We try. We have to go through the motions, and we have to, when we're davening, we have to do as it's prescribed in all the books that we read about how we're supposed to do it. Supposed to sit and learn a little bit about Elokus, and this is all described, I think, if I forgot the chapter exactly, Tzadik Gimel, Tzadik Vav of Or HaChaim. In Shulchan Aruch, it prescribes, there's a prescription, how to daven. Okay, quoting the Rambam. Okay, you're supposed to think about Godless Hashem, you're supposed to think about the greatness of Hashem before davening, and so in order to think about the greatness of Hashem before davening, so you should have what to think about. So you should learn about the greatness of Hashem before davening, and that's where Chassidus before davening comes in. And then, as it says in the Rebbe Rishab wrote a whole pamphlet called Kuntres HaTfilah, the tract on prayer, as it's called in English, that he describes over there that a person has to have a sense of menuchas hanefesh when davening, not to feel rushed, not to feel the expression, a good expression in Yiddish, fachadid, which means all nervous and tumult. But to have a sense of calm and well-being when a person is davening, so that means that they have to be in an environment which supports...
Lends itself to that.
To calm and well-being, right, yes. Right. And then to focus on to meditate and think about that which the person learned before davening, and to understand the spirituality of what it is that he learned, and to think about his own relationship with Hashem. This is all before davening. And then to start davening and to say each word, not to swallow the words, but to say each word individually. The Baal Shem Tov says that when a person davens, they should say each word like they're saying goodbye to someone they'll never see ever again. Okay, we've quoted that line before. So that realizing the preciousness of every word, and if need be, stopping in the middle and to rethink what it was that the person learned, to take it even further. How is this affecting me? How am I becoming better? And so now you're going through all this. And after doing all this and saying every word, the whole davening, Pirush Milas, after all this, a person could be done and say, I didn't do anything. With all that, I didn't daven. You asked me if I davened. I didn't daven. I don't feel like I did anything. Were I anything closer? Do I feel closer to God? No, I don't feel any closer to God. Do I feel like I accomplished anything? No, I don't feel like I accomplished anything.
That makes sense.
And
from the first book, Benoni is more connected during davening, but then the Yetzirah gets its
foot. Okay, you want to say it's Yetzirah, you know? So, but he says
Yetzirah
right here,
is quiet during
davening. He says right here that any feeling that you're going to have from davening, it's a present.
That's right. It's a gift.
It's from the chesed Ava of Hashem that Hashem wants to give you. Oh, look at this guy. He's trying. Good. Fine. We'll make him feel good. Okay?
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true.
It's like with everything else in the world. You know, you can bang your head against the wall and it goes, and you can just
do what it needs, and then it goes. It doesn't go. You bang your head against the wall and it get a knot.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's all up to Hashem. If you're going through the wall, you're not going through the wall. Totally and completely. And it's the same thing with your davening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because now this, everyone, according to the kavana that a person has and the feeling that they had, is b'teres tzedakah v'chesed Hashem me'olam v'ad olam al yirayav, is an expression of Hashem's tzedakah and kindness from one world to the next over hills who fear Him. Okay, meaning to say that it's coming from above and it comes down here. It comes down, it can be manifest. This feeling that a person has to go through this whole process before it comes down and hits him. Mm-hmm. Because what would be if Hashem says, you know what, this guy's doing so good, I'm just going to give him straight. So the guy gets zapped, you know, he'll do a nut of an
interview.
He'll do a nut of an interview. What good is that going to help?
Exactly. Nothing.
So the revelation that we have, the revelation that we have has to be something that we could relate to.
Can inculcate.
Because if they're not, then we just sort of like, you know, we fly out and there's no point in that.
Right.
So the revelation of God, the feeling that we have has to be, he says, Lufun Shira Delay, everybody in their own measure.
Right.
How much their soul is able to withstand and appreciate. Kalaim, meaning to say, Sha'or Hashem Ein Sof Baruch Hu, that the light of the infinite, light of Hashem, which is infinite, Hamer Melamayla Ba'olam Esel Yainim, which is in the upper world, is illuminating, it's shining. The Ha'ara Rabba in a great illuminance, with a lot of godliness there. The Vachinis Gilei Rava Atzim, in an awesome and intense revelation, that's what defines the world as being higher. We're talking about higher worlds. Olam Esel Yainin. So they're not up there. The word higher and lower means greater revelation, lesser revelation.
Right.
Higher means more revelation. Okay? That's why you can't get there from here. Okay? Ashiva emes heim betelim v'metzias u'kolei mamas chashivi kameh. So that everything, as if there's any type of a revelation of Hashem, if anything is privileged to understand, oh, that's infinity. That entity loses itself. It becomes nullified to the godliness. Because if some entity is aware that there's something infinite, what does that do for them? It's infinite all around me except me?
No.
Then it's not infinite anymore.
No.
If it's infinite, I'm included. I'm part of that infiniteness.
Right.
So this we see, for example, in the describing, he goes into great length in chapter 20 of Geras HaKadosh with the spheres of Atzilus. Their relationship with Hashem. But they're not something separate from Hashem. Yihu v'chayehu chad, yihu v'garmehu chad. That the life in the world of Atzilus is totally and completely nullified to Hashem, but also the limitations are also in Atzilus, totally and completely nullified to Hashem, because it's an expression of the infiniteness of Hashem. Even the Kalim, meaning the way in which the godliness is expressed, is also an expression of infiniteness.
Right.
So they also take on infinite quality.
Right.
But that's for sure, because that's just the spheres, that's what we call those, the attributes of Hashem. What happens in Bria? Where Bria, it's only what they refer to as, there's no creation in the world of creation. Like you thinking, when you think creation, you're thinking three dimensions. In creation, we have what's called Efsharius Hametzius. There's a possibility for something to
exist,
recognize its own existence.
Right, right, right. Right.
Does it recognize its own existence? Not in the world of Bria, because it's only just a possibility.
Potential.
It potentially recognizes
right.
itself.
Right.
So they're okay, so you have neshamas. And what does a neshama look like?
Hashem.
Hashem, neshama looks like Hashem. That sounds perplexing. If you could draw a picture. What's it going to look like? Exactly. Well, what does Hashem look like?
I mean, Hashem.
Any way that you, any term that you're going to use to describe a neshama.
It's a euphemism.
Any description that you're going to use to describe a neshama, you could use exactly the same terminology to describe Hashem.
Yes.
So they say it looks like Hashem. Okay?
Okay.
So, so it's a neshama. It recognizes itself as being a neshama because it has the possibility of recognizing itself.
Right.
But in the meantime, what is it? It's sin, it's buttled to the godliness there.
Yeah.
And what about in the next world in Yetzira, where it's just known as the realm of angels?
Mm.
Which, if you ask me, I'm not impressed with them all. We talk about this that an angel is just merely a switch to allow godliness to pass up or down.
Right.
Okay, so they don't, they're
transistor,
jumper, on a on a motherboard, so that they don't have any existence of their own. We talk about, you're talking a simple level over there.
Right, sure.
What are they doing? They're jumping up and down, yelling Kaddish, 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 because they know that the word Kaddish means removed, and they know that Hashem is, the infiniteness of Hashem is just beyond their grasp, and but they know it's there, as opposed to us. We talk about it, but we really don't have a clue what we're talking about. But the Malachim, they know that there's infiniteness just beyond their grasp.
Yeah.
And so what is their whole leaning? Where are they going towards? They're going towards the infiniteness.
Sure.
They're nullified in their existence. It's only when we get down to here, to three dimensions, and here that you have concrete terms which are imposing opposition to the revelation. So now we say, Aniva Afsiyoid, I exist and nothing else exists. That's over here. Okay? But if it recognizes in the higher worlds where it recognizes the infinite of Hashem is nullified in their existence and is considered like absolutely nothing, V'nichlalim v'ari yisbarach, and they become now incorporated in the revelation in this light of Hashem. Because as we said, if you recognize infinity, so then infinity doesn't have any borders. That means that you've just lost all of your borders, and you're part of that infinity.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we talking about over here? This is just even referring to, not the inner part of the sphere. We're talking about even in the world of Asiya Ruchnius, the lowest spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the godliness still maintains its integrity. What is it? Where is it that all these angels and things are talking about? They're referred to in the Zohar as being in the Heichalos. What's a Heichal? Heichal are outer chambers.
Hmm.
The outside. And I'm using a bad example, a very, very bad example, is I hate using it, but you have a keli. Okay, a cup, for example. So a cup is divided into three parts. There's the inside of the cup, there's the cup itself, and then there's the outside of the cup.
Right.
Okay? The inside of the cup relates to that which you want to have inside the cup.
You're putting it, right.
That's what you're putting into it.
Right.
Okay? The cup itself determines the size. The outside of the cup is how you hold it.
Correct.
Okay, and even though this cup may be, I don't know, this cup is 3 millimeters thick, okay, but it still has those three parts.
Right.
Okay, so the heichalos are the outer expression of the keli.
Hmm.
It's the, what's another, so what's the whole purpose of the keli? Now going back to the classic definition of what the word keli mean, the word keli, according to Mishnayos, means something which has a use.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, if I have a keli, the whole purpose of the keli is in order to make the godliness which is contained in it
usable.
Right.
Useful. Correct.
Okay. So what is going to be the useful expression? Well, down in the lower of the, in the lower of the higher worlds, pardon my double talk there, but the lower of the higher worlds, so the outer expression are going to be those malachim. Now, what's the whole purpose of the malachim? The malachim, the word malach means a messenger.
Mm.
So it's to convey this from that. So that, for example, with this cup, I could hand you this cup and you can take it from me. Because that's what the purpose of the outside of the cup is so that it can relate to people right. outside of the tea, as the case may be in this case with the cup.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's a very bad example. I don't like using cups for Kaler. Okay, so that's where the Malachim and the Neshamas, Shebeham, Amavarim, Bezar, Kadosh, Neshmasen, Lemimkaimasen, Keseder, Hatfila, Shesadr, Lana, Achekneses, Gedela, that each of the souls, Beshmai Sehem, all the angels, according to their names, as is alluded to in the Seder of Tfila, according to this, to the Achekneses, Gedela, this is, you have Sidurim. I'm not sure if it was the Alter Rebbe, which Rebbe was very much against davening with a siddur that has meforshim in it. Davening, meforshim are for learning.
Okay.
Distraction.
Davening is not a time for learning.
For learning, right, okay.
You want to know what the meforshim say when you daven, so that this way you'll have what to do. So go learn it beforehand, so that this way when you're davening, you're not learning.
Right, right, right.
Okay, so, but there are siddurim that have all kinds of things going on the page.
Mm.
And they in the parentheses, not in the parentheses, the margins, in between the letters, mm. on the top of the, between the lines, mm. they have names of angels that you're supposed to be thinking about at that point. They have Yud Kei Vav Kei spelled out in different ways, with different nekudos and different vav, different consonants spelling it out, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, all the stuff going on the page. Okay, which is, that stuff is all 100% true. This stuff's all coming from the Zohar. And this is stuff that you, technically speaking, should be thinking about when you're davening. When you get to this point, yes, there is this angel that's at this point who's like the gatekeeper who's going to help you get your tefillin up. Okay, me, I never got turned on to it because I'm not interested in including little messenger boys in my davening. I want to daven straight to God. So
yes.
I never got into the whole deal, but maybe that's just my own shortcoming.
It wouldn't do me any good anyway.
Okay, with this malach and that malach, you know, these things.
It's all over my head.
I could
anyway.
Just focus, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
That would be
So, and all these kavanas were established by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They can do it.
I believe that there was a Hayom Yom that says that your minimal amount of kavana that you should have is that when you're saying these words, you should have everything intended that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah wanted to have intended at this point.
Okay.
Whatever it is, God, I'm relying on them.
Yeah, exactly. Just
whatever they wanted, that's good. I'm going with them.
I'm Yotzi.
Right. Lucky.
Hei Mersham Meir Ha'or. Ki toiv le'olam hashefel hazeh al yerav Hashem, al yer Hashem, that from there the illumination now comes into the world, and it's good for this low world that it comes down into those who fear Hashem. V'chayshrei shemai hachafetzim la'avdu ba'avedu shebelev zutfila. These are people who are interested in serving Hashem with a service of the heart, that this is davening.
Hmm.
Okay, and that is, if a person really wants to get close to Hashem, the only way to get close to Hashem is by davening. Kama shekasev, v'havaya yagia chashki, that havaya reaches, I believe, my darkness, is, The Hashem, he says, enlightens. Hashem, the word Yigi, like Yalav Yavav Yigi. The Lord enlightens my darkness.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that this godliness is coming down now to us in such a way at the time of davening is called the kindness of Hashem. And it is also alluded to in an expression like water that flows from a high place to a low place.
Hmm.
Okay, so like for example, the water that you have on the top of the waterfall is exactly the same water
correct.
At the bottom of the waterfall.
Sure. With less kinetic energy.
What's the difference? Is the water on the top is on the top and the water on the bottom is on the bottom.
Right.
But it's exactly the same. So the godliness that's now coming down, okay, so it has to go through all the pipes and systems and whatnot and wriggle and jiggle and tickle until it comes out here. So it's totally and completely processed. But what is it? It's still godliness. So you should know. So that's all a given. Okay? This is just the background information.
Yeah.
Okay?
Now we got that covered.
Now we know that if you want to daven, there's a real way to daven.
Yeah, right.
And the whole purpose of davening is enabled to connect to Hashem in order to elicit the kindness of Hashem, that the kindness be brought down here. And what he's going to eventually say is if you want kindness, the best receptacle for kindness is kindness.
Yeah.
And so that's where the giving of tzedakah comes in. That's where he says, now all this point now, when he talks about in the pasuk, Zeraya Lechem L'tzedakah, so that referring to Hashem being the kind one and drawing down godliness down to us. Yeah. That's the first way of looking at it. That's according to Rashi.
Okay.
So it says that's all talking about kindness. But guess what? We live a balanced existence. And in order for the kindness to come down properly, there also has to be gavur. There has to be with the restraint.
Yes.
Litzamtzim alahaster ora yisbarach, to conceal and to hide the light of Hashem. Leval yisgala litachtenim, so that it is not revealed down here. Okay, so that, you know, if it's too much kindness is not a good thing.
Right.
So it has to be dampened.
Yes.
But with the placing of the big letters per se, none of the commentaries talk about the page style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily, when you see like a big letter, you see like the word namuch is in the middle of the line, and the next word starts the line, it starts vihine, and there's a space underneath it as an indentation for the next paragraph, thinking that this is like a next section. I'm not so sure that this is like another section per se, and the discussion, I don't know, with the printers who printed this edition back in 1906, when they set it up this way, if they had this specific intention to do it this way, because the new section actually starts here. Ahakol tala b'isur zelil tata. Everything, getting this whole system to work, okay, there's a very big God out there, but guess what? It's all dependent upon us making the initial effort.
Yeah.
That's according to the Mitzvot. When you talk about tzedakah, you're talking about righteousness, so according to Mitzvot, so the righteousness is dependent on us, not on Hashem.
Right.
We have to make the first step.
Yes.
She'im ha'adam isnagig b'chassidus la'hashpia chayim v'chesed, that if a person is going to make the effort and go and give life and kindness to another person, so what happens then is he gets to be the beneficiary of kindness which is being bequeathed to him. You're kind, Hashem's kind to you. Okay? You want to draw down the kindness of Hashem, you have to enlarge
it. Exercise kindness.
You have to exercise it. When you exercise something, you make it stronger, you make it bigger, you make it more usable. It's able to do more. So, but if you're exercising your kindness, then you get to get more kindness from Hashem. K'maymer Zal, the midah she'adam meidin ba, meididin lei. As it says that the person measures, they're measuring him. Okay, meaning that whatever the person's outlook is, the person says, this guy doesn't need, this guy does need, this guy does need. There's a story about this. Zushavana Poli had a chassid.
He had a chassid, yes.
Okay. I don't know how many chassidim he had, but he had at least one. Okay. So this guy comes and he knocks on the door. He wants to go see the Rebbe. Okay, and the wife tells him that her husband, Reb Zusha, went to Mizrich to see his Rebbe. So he thought to himself, my Rebbe has a Rebbe? Mm-hmm. Let's go, you know? It's like I tell my dentist, I want to go to your dentist.
Right.
I don't know what kind of dentist you are.
But I want to go
but to, I want your, to, go to your dentist because right. I know your dentist is going to be gonna, top, is gonna be top notch because right. you're going to know.
Right.
Okay. So he says, I want to go to my Rebbe's Rebbe. Okay. So he went off to Mizrich.
Yeah.
And he was just amazed. He said, wow, this is awesome. I'm just going to start. And he started going to Mizrich uh-huh. and he stopped going to Annapolis. Uh-huh. And some period of time went by and his business started to fail.
Dwindle. Uh-huh.
Okay, he started going to the doldrums. So he requested a yechidus with the Mizrich and Magid, and he told them, the problem is since I'm coming to Mizrich, my business is failing. Mm-hmm. So he told them, when you weren't so careful what kind of Rebbe you had, so they weren't so careful about your business and your dealings. But if you're going to exert yourself and be careful about what kind of Rebbe you have, so they're going to take a look and see, well, what does this guy really deserve?
What's he made of? Yeah.
Okay. So this story actually is exactly the opposite of what he pointed. He wants to stay over here. But it's a good story. So the that if a person wants to be a beneficiary of kindness, he can't be a mosquito. It says the expression, we learned this way back when in chapter 29, the expression, I think it's from the Zohar, I'm not sure where it initially originates, from a measure someplace, Yitish Kadmach. The mosquito came before you in creation.
Okay.
Okay, it's an expression which a person uses to make himself feel humble. But what's the deal with a Yitish? Why do we say there's a lot of things that were created before people were created.
Sure, of course.
Why does it say mosquito? Because what do mosquitoes do? They're born, they suck some blood, they lay eggs and they die.
Right.
So the whole thing that they do is they suck and they don't produce any waste. Okay, they take in, they don't give out anything. There is no commercial use for mosquitoes. Until this day, we've had mosquitoes for 5,700 years, and man has never come up with what can we do with mosquitoes.
Right.
They eat them.
Not us. Nobody eats them.
Oh,
I don't even think in Louisiana they eat mosquitoes.
No,
they don't chocolate cover mosquitoes even in Louisiana.
No, bikers even, but
no. Yeah, when they're when they got their mouths open, they're panting, you know. Anyway, so I don't know how much protein they provide either.
But
this person, if you want to take, it's not going to work that way.
Right.
Yeah, a person has to give, and when a person gives. It's like with everything else. If you're going to back up half a second, the Rambam says that every child, and I think somewhere in Health Procedures, I think towards the end, that if every child born is a blessing, meaning that every child provides a channel. A new channel for Hashem to give you Parnassa.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tell people, I couldn't afford 3 kids, so I had 4 more. So if I couldn't afford 3, I might as well have 7 and not afford. If I can't afford 3, I might as well not be able to afford 7.
Go bankrupt with 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
You know, I would have had more, But what happened was, it wasn't that I was making the same amount of money. As when I had 3 kids, as I went. When I had 7 kids, I was making twice as much money. How did it happen? You have to talk to God about it. Okay? Yeah. And it's always seemed that whenever I wanted to start a project, something that had to do with Mitzoyim or these type of things, it's going to cost money. So, okay, so now that I have this debt, so listen, Hashem, I didn't do this for me. So it creates, every debt creates a possibility for Hashem to fill in the debt, to fill in the lack. Provided, of course, that it's all done for the right reason.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, so I don't necessarily say, Friedman said I should go into debt.
No.
That's not my it's like I tell people that my investments at this point are in debt reduction. So. So the measure that a person measures himself or measures others, that's how they treat him as well. So if a person is going to be stingy, so Hashem says, I'll be stingy too. person's going to be kind. So Shem says, okay, he was going to give, I'll give too. It says, but it doesn't, don't think, I mean, there are all kinds of promises that if you give tzedakah beyond your means, so then you get paid back four times. And sometimes it could be that you'll get paid back 10 times the amount that you paid. Okay, but if you got the emunah to do it, I don't recommend that either. Okay, there were instances where the Rebbe told people that it's a very appropriate time, and if you should give tzedakah, and if you do, Hashem will pay you back four times.
Yeah.
Again, at one time, at one for Brengen, the Rebbe told everybody you have to write down their name on a piece of paper and how much they're giving right now. How much are they pledging right now? And the Rebbe went through his whole bag of papers. And he called out like last names, and he told them either they gave more, they have to give how many times more, or for some people he said that's too much. For Bachram he told them no, it's too much because the Bachram doesn't, you know, not to, to do this is not for them. Okay, so there's a story. One guy, I don't remember all the details. He was coming from Israel, he's stopping off in Belgium, he's going to buy diamonds. This is one of these more famous stories. And the Rebbe told him 100 times what he was supposed to give. Okay, and it was all the cash that he brought with him. So he said, okay, fine, this is what, you know, the Rebbe said, I'm giving.
Yeah.
So he said, and when Yechidus, so he told him initially he was going to be stopping back
Antwerp.
But now, since he doesn't have any money, there's no reason for him to stop off in Antwerp. But the Rebbe told him he should stop off in Antwerp again. And what happened? Somebody came up to him and made him an agent, and he paid him for his services, and he sold some, bought some other stuff, and he sold it, and he saw that he made four times the amount that he gave. And they all lived happily ever after. Okay? Yay. Okay? So, but I don't recommend, I can't guarantee that, because you have to have the faith to do that.
Right.
You have to say to Hashem, you know. But I can tell you this, if a person is saying to Hashem, oh, the lottery is $100 million. If I win, I'll give half. It doesn't work that way. Hashem hears that from everybody. Okay? That's just lip service. Give the half up front, and we'll see. Hashem will give you unless you win the lottery for $100
million. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Ki im hashpia lo yachayor lamabalava keneged mashu hu mashpia chayor lamazeh. V'lo hashpia lo yachayor ha'oriz arin sof. And so that all of this is, it's not exactly works out proportionate, because Hashem gives us actually much more. Because ultimately, even though a person may get the four times back, may get the 10 times back, but that's just side point.
That's just the chump change.
It's just this world.
Yeah, that's just in this world. The real paying back is in the world to come.
Yeah.
That's immeasurable.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it that way, but
Hashem, not just this little bit. This is just a ray of godliness that's coming down into this world. That's all this is.
Right.
Shiyarva Yagiya Chashki, that it comes and illuminates his darkness. For those who sit and serve Hashem with the heart through davening, shehuva v'chinas madregas teshuva ilah kenayda, and this level of davening equates to the higher level of tshuva, as we talked about in chapter 7 and 8 and 9 of Egeres Hatshuva. And if you forgot about it, you can go look over there, go listen to those shiurim over there. Sharihula ma'ala ma'ala mikol chayolam haba, and that we get to daven and relate to Hashem, and in such a way, and be a vessel for all of this great godliness, says this is much greater than the world to come. Greater is 1 hour of tshuva and maisim tovim in this world than the whole world to come.
Yes.
Even though we just said that the real hamshacha, the real derivation of godliness, doesn't come now in this world. It comes in the world to come, and the person will benefit to see it after he's 120.
But the growing's here.
But here, you get the whole thing. Because yeah. it's still, okay, what you see here, that's even less than Olam Haba. That's a ray of a ray. Right. But what you don't see, that's the essence of Hashem. And when, yes, this person is going to give this pruta to the Ani, what he's doing by fulfilling Hashem's will is grabbing on the entirety of the infiniteness of Hashem. Okay. Now, he's only able to appreciate just a little tiny bit. But what he's got is the entirety of the infiniteness of Hashem. And that we can only do in this world. And he explained at great length in chapter 4 that Olam Haba is just a mere ray. And what is it the Neshamers are doing? They're saying, wow, far out, man. This is really flipped out stuff. This is what I was. This is what I accomplished in my lifetime. This is really wonderful. Okay, but then again, when you think about it, Moshe put on tefillin and I put on tefillin. Okay, Moshe had kavana for his tefillin, and I have kavana for my tefillin. Okay, after 120 years, Moshe saw what his tefillin were able to accomplish, and was able to appreciate it in a much greater way than me, for example, after 120 years, what I'm going to accomplish by my kavanas of putting on tefillin. Okay, because my kavanas are a whole lot less than Moshe's kavanas. But when we're talking about the actual performance of putting on tefillin, so Moshe and me, exactly the same. Because we both have the HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'atzmusay u'mahusay 100%. Not that Moshe understands a little bit more than me and I understand it a little bit less. We both have grabbed Hashem 100% of Hashem's infiniteness by doing these mitzvahs. And that then makes a keli for the godliness now to come down here in a way that we can appreciate it. We are on the top of page 433, 444, the word Aachen in English, however, to be continued.